Y'all, what's going on out there? Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mr. Talk. And man, I tell you, we got a show for you today. We got open mic. That's right, open mic, man, I'm telling you. And open mic means we can talk about anything we want to. Anything we want to. So that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And if you want to be a part of the show today, give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or stop by the Facebook page and hit me up at Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. And we can talk about some things, y'all. That's for sure. We can talk about some things. You know, I don't know how to tell y'all, but there's some things I do need to talk about. And I think it's really, I've said it a whole lot, you know, some of the things I got to say. But I'm going to say it again. And I'm going to start off talking about this thing with Donald Sterling. All right, we all know what he has said. We all know it was recorded and it has been put out there over and over and over again. Those are the things we know. All right. Now, all of a sudden, there's this big push to make him seem as though he is just so distraught over the things he said. But have y'all noticed one thing about it? He's blaming everyone else but himself. You know, and I told y'all that this a long time ago, you know, when this thing first went off. The man said there's a culture, there's a society that he has the answer to. And I've often said also when they need to correct something, what are the first things they're going to do? They're going to attack your character. Hence, he's jumping on Magic Johnson. Why he jumping on Magic Johnson? But see, here's the thing about Magic. Now, we all know Magic was once one of the owners of the L.A. Lakers. Okay, so, you know, he's on TV talking about he must move, but that kind of gets me to wonder also, did Magic know about this before this whole thing kicked off? You know, and everybody say, well, why he's bringing Magic, why he not bringing, why they keep bringing Magic into it? Well, and I had to sit down and think about this thing, and that is my question. If Magic was part owner of the Lakers, all right, and he had to deal with all the other owners, are you telling me that Donald Sterling did not have any comments, derogatory comments during that time that they met? Yeah, I never thought about that, huh? I just thought about it. I just put it out there, you know. And then now Donna Sterling, he's not only attacking the young lady, which I said, you know, as I said before, you know, when they want to change their perception of something, the first thing they do is attack your character. That's what they do. That's their MO right there. They attack your character. Now, if attacking your character doesn't get the job done and get them back in standing where they need to be, the next thing they're going to do, they come after your businesses. That's right. You know, like this young lady, all of a sudden she's embezzled money because he paid for money. You know? you know what I mean? All of a sudden, Magic Johnson. I mean, look, it's funny because you say, what Magic Johnson done? He got AIDS, don't he? He don't even know the difference between HIV and AIDS. But he's still trying to degrade Magic Johnson to make himself look good. And I'm just saying, you know, some things, it's so apparent that we overlook it, you know. And right now they in character assassination mode. That's all they're into. You know, that's what they're into. You know, he faked some crying, and you know, that's all a game. It's all a game, ploy. You know, it's all a game, ploy. See, H2O. Now, so you understand what I'm saying then. But when the camera's in front of you, oh, he's got to go. So you telling me you've dealt with, okay, Magic Johnson has dealt with Donald Sterling back in 1979. All right? Sterling bought the team in 81. And Magic attended a pool party he gave. So with all that long history together, you mean to tell me you were unaware of the way this man thought or felt? No, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that. That sounds all good, and you in front of the cameras, we know what you have to say. But I don't know, Magic. That leaves you a little suspect, too. You know, I know. When things go down, you know, they get off that train real fast, right? They get off that train real fast. And I'm just saying, man, you know, so y'all be aware, this is a month coming now. You know, they going after the characters now. They're going after the characters in it. But I can guarantee you, if his status is not restored, then, because the only thing they're doing now is making him seem like he is the victim. That's all they're doing. They trying to get everybody to understand that Donald Sterling is the victim here. That's all they're trying to do. And how do you do that? Turn the tables. Start picking at the characteristics, start picking at the individuals that were involved in it. Character assassination. That's all it is. It's not something new. A lot of times it's something we over we overlook. You know, sometimes it's things we overlook. But I just wanted to bring that up because I looked at this thing, and you know, he went after the young lady. He's been with this young lady for a while. You know, he attacked her about 15 brothers and 15 sisters. What'd he say? She from the street, so I thought she'll do better. What kind of mess is that? You done slept with the girl and gave this girl all this stuff, and now all of a sudden you got a problem with that. No, people are some funny things, man. I tell you. You know, it goes back to something we say here all the time. You know, when push comes to shove and they get pushed in the corner, hey, you out there on your own, ass just flapping in the wind. Excuse my language, but that's the basis. That's what it is, man. Let's be honest. That's what's going on right now. To say himself, he's going to put them out there in the wind. He doesn't care what happens to them. You know, that's interesting. Has anyone heard of him going and apologizing to the players on the team and the head coach? Did anybody hear anything about that? No, since he on TV talking about, I said a bad thing, and I'm not racist, and I'm not prejudiced. If you're not all those things, why do you continue to have to say it? Who are you trying to make believe this? Are you, you know, sound like you having an issue within yourself, and you just want to try and make everybody else join in with you, soothe you a little bit. Say, nah, you're not that way. We know it was a mistake. Right. Right. I'm just saying, y'all, it's just some of the things that is very interesting, and sometimes you just have to sit back and watch. You know, Pearson, whatever that man's newscast is, you know, he's sitting there and nothing wrong with him. He didn't cause all this, you know. You know, he was recorded without his knowledge. He was tricked into it. Okay. All right. Nobody's tricked you into opening your mouth, though, did they? So, you know, what came out, came out. You know, in the words of some of the people on the street back in the day, do you. Just do you. You know, there's no need to hide. If that's the way you are, that's the way you are. You understand? If that's the way you are, that's the way you are. Now, and that's all I got to say about Donald Sterling. If anybody else want to chime in on that, I'll be more than happy to listen to you. And we can chew the fat on it a little bit, per se. Now, the only thing I do is call me, 347-838-8622. But before we go any further, let me give a shout-out to Deep H2O in the chat room. Mr. Reliable, I tell you. He has some information for me a lot, too. I like that brother right there. He all right with me. Then you got guest 1162. Welcome to the show. And I guess everybody else running late, but it's okay. We're going to go on anyway. Now, yesterday, for those that didn't get to listen in the overtime or haven't listened to the archives, you know, we talked a little bit about Michael Sam and his situation. And, you know, I was really provoked to think a little bit harder about this thing. You know, we understand that there is no, you know, this, you know, he's the first openly gay football player. I mean, NFL player, okay? Because we already know there are gay players already in the league. They just don't want anybody to know about it. Okay? Easy. But I was sitting back and thinking, you know, people are so hypocritical. It's funny. It really is. And I'm tell y'all why I'm saying this. You know, back in the day, there were certain shows that that exhibited the homosexual life. Booze and Buddies, well, they was dressing up like girls, right? Mm-hmm. Will and Grace, where the guy was married, then he wasn't married because he found out he was gay. Let's see, we got Modern Family on now. But the same people that has a problem with Michael Sam right now, back then probably didn't have a problem with it. You understand what I'm saying? Now, so all of a sudden, because I think I was thinking, and I think somebody mentioned it yesterday on the show. Most people that's not into religion deeply have no problem with Michael Sam and him kissing his boyfriend on television. It's those that, you know, before they became religious that had no problem with it, you know, all of a sudden now they have a big issue with it because I am holier than thou and that's not the way it's supposed to be. But let me understand. But see, and here's the funny thing about this religion thing and homosexuality. There are actual churches now where there's a pastor and a first man. Right there in Atlanta. It's right there in Atlanta. If you don't believe me, I'm sure H2O will back me up on it. But see, and that's what I'm talking about right there. No, but something was said on my Facebook page, and I want to ask you, my callers and my crew, I want to ask y'all a question. Just because you say, do you, boo, just do you. In other words, you know, hey, to each his own. You understand what I'm saying? To each his own. Now, here's the question. Does that say you are condoning homosexuality? Or are you just saying, hey, it ain't got nothing to do with me. If that's what they want to do, oh, well. You know? So what do y'all think? Give me a call, 347-838-8622. Because I want to know. You know, and that's the question that had been hitting me upside the head all day. You know, just saying, well, to each his own, and, you know, ain't got nothing to do with me, so forth and so on. Is that like the same as condoning the actions? Or is it you just really don't care? You know? I just want to know. Let me get some more shout-outs real quick while I'm trying to get y'all to call in. Let's see, we got East Coast joining us. What's up, East Coast? And then we got Enjoying Life. Yeah, we all enjoy life. And then we got Renee Bass in the house. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, man, I didn't do that. But I was just saying, is that considered condoning the act of homosexuality by saying, look, you just do you, boo, do you. I don't care. As long as you're not in my specific area, as long as I don't have to deal with you on a daily basis, you know, is that condoning homosexuality? That's the question right now. And I really want to know because I just, oh my goodness, the lines rung up then. All right, let me see. I got to start from the top. Oh, man. Let's see. 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
What's up, Mr. Clark? This is Michael.
Well, hello, Michael. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Good.
You play good. Okay. Okay. Hold on. Yes, you probably. Because that's where it's coming from. But hold on. Hold on. Let me bring somebody else in. Hello, 111. Welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Beasley.
Hey,
what's up, I can't. I would comment on Donald Sterling. I can't do any more gay talk. Gay discussion right. Talk. No, it happened yesterday on your show, and then there was marathon. Right. There was a marathon gay session on another show last night, and I'm done. I don't even think about gay anything okay. This much as I talked about it the other night. But go ahead.
Hold on. Let me bring the third person in.
All right.
Let's see. 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Maze.
Okay.
Hey, Maze.
Hello.
How you doing?
All right.
Good.
Now, I see. I see now the asylum is here. So, let's go for it. Okay, we're going to start with Michael since I let Michael in first. Okay, go ahead, Mike.
So, your question is, can we separate it? Is condoning it? Is condoning homosexuality, is it accepting it or what? What's your question?
Here's the question, Michael. Let me fix my sound here. Here's the question. Like you said, you know, homosexuality, you've seen them kissing on TV. It has nothing to do with me. As long as they keep it to themselves, I really don't care. Okay? So is that the same as condoning homosexuality? Or is it just one of those, it's whatever? That's the question.
Well, what condoning it is, you know, accepting it, not saying that you would want to do it yourself or you would try to do that act yourself. But I say acceptance. You just accept it for what it is.
That's
what
condoning means.
It is. Now, right, well, condoning, right.
You're right. That's what it means.
Right. But now this. What you said is, and psychologically, I can't see how that can happen. How can you separate your religious beliefs totally from your political beliefs? Because when we, and now notice, yesterday, some people didn't believe in the Bible, but they still were critical to homosexuality. I think they believed in God, but they didn't necessarily believe in the Bible. Renee said she didn't believe in the Bible, but she has her opinions, you know, like, you know, she's real biased towards gays.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I can't see how, I mean, religion and politics runs hand to hand. You know, a Christian person may go against abortion.
Wait a minute. Do you really believe that?
I just want to say this. If you do, but you're contradicting yourself. If you say that God says a gay person is an abomination, it should not be a part of this earth, you read your stories, they're killing them off. If you then say that you support that, to me, mentally, and I guess if people want to say spiritually, you're at war, you're at conflict. That's why I don't deal with that. I have acceptance and try to look at the facts. But when people try to be religious and say, I'll partake that, that's why the church are having their battles. Some say gay people should not hold no office in church until they, you know, get that. So it's politics and religion, bro.
Okay.
So I can't see how people can separate.
No, sometimes people connect their politics to their religious beliefs, but sometimes people, you know, weigh them separately. But there are many people that connect everything to their religious beliefs depending on how devout a religious person they are. And then there's some people that are able to separate the two. I kind of separate the two. But I really wanted to say something about Donald Sterling. And you're determined to have this gay talk?
No, they just need one more part to it, and then you can
discuss
that.
Go ahead. I'm
going to tell you about an experience, and this is a fact. Grew up around gay people, and they didn't want me to be gay, and I didn't think they were going to turn me gay. So there's a lot of people thinking it's just something new. But the gay people knew who they were. They didn't mess with us when we were children.
Wait, we have
children, and we grew up.
Right.
It doesn't happen to us, and we knew the difference between the two.
Wait a minute. That is not the question.
That's what I'm saying. Some people think that, Mr. Talk.
No, but my question is, by you saying, you know, it doesn't matter to me, or like Mr. Beasley did yesterday, the Serenity Prayer. You know,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, is that the same as condoning homosexuality?
Yes, condoning it. Condoning it. Condoned means to accept or to allow.
Okay.
I guess I condone homosexuality, but I'm not homosexual. But what homosexuals do doesn't really bother me. That's what
it's
they
not my
do.
Business.
But, right, it's not
but
my business.
But this is
business.
What I want to say about acceptance. Acceptance, the benefit of acceptance is when you see a gay person, you won't have this uneasy feeling. You won't have this upset feeling. You won't have this feeling when you look at them, they're a sinner, they're going to hell, that you should change them. So, but it's easy to say about acceptance, but when you truly accept somebody, you're not going to, it's going to be at peace. That's what the Serenity Prayer is for.
So that's why the Serenity Prayer
is so powerful, and
but
it's
nobody.
So real, and there's so many people that are concerned about stuff and get hyped up and angry and all of these emotions about stuff that doesn't have to do with them. I got taught that when I was a kid. Because I was a kid and I would be involved in everybody else's stuff, and I got sat down and explained it to me, and it would, my family believed in that and spoke it all the time,
mm-hmm.
you
and
know, spoke it all the time, and you know what it's given me in this crazy world? It's given me peace.
Peace.
It's given me peace because I can always go back to it, and like
but
wow.
I'm saying when you talk, listen to. People, they think that the gayness thing just started in the black community and we don't know nothing about it. If you grew up with it and you saw it, the lady had a husband and she had a woman.
But
the kids that grew up around her niece, she's not gay. And
right.
That was her mother's sister.
That's their phobia. That's their phobia. But what is new is this real push and this real, you know, putting people's sexuality, homosexuals' sexuality, front and center. I mean, what that man kissing that man after he got drafted to the NFL. I mean, they told us a few years ago that a few players were going to come out, but it didn't really happen. Okay, but that man doing that on national television, it's something different, you know. And what's new is the push of the gay agenda, where people are coming out and they're all over the place, and they've always been here. They've just been in the closet. They've always been here. You know.
Yes.
Now I have difficulties with, you know, explaining this to people at such a young age. You know, Renee had mentioned that, you know, that there's books and they're teaching people this at a young age. I think that's extra. That's a little much.
But Beasley. When Barney came out, that's what they said about Barney.
Barney was gay?
The little purple, yes.
Yeah, big purple.
And before the books and all of this stuff, they said that about Barney at the time. Then they came out with Kermit. The person that was doing Kermit was a gay person. But then the kids stood up and they watched.
Yeah.
He never did anything.
Didn't they find out the dude that did Elmo?
Yes.
The brother that was doing Elmo messed around with teenage boys, had a few cases of it, and did drugs.
Kids grew up on it?
Right. I mean, that's the voice behind. Is that actually the person? I wanted to say something about Donald Sterling.
Oh, yes.
I watched the interview. I'm sorry, I'm gayed out.
Well, I
don't want
to flip back and forth today.
All right, I mean, but I'm gayed out, and you guys can talk about what you like. And I know Renee's going to come in here and talk about
you can flip back
and
forth,
keep the
no
gay going.
Intended.
But I think Donald Sterling.
Hold on, wait a minute. How you going to tell me on my show? You thought
I'm
you were
not telling you. Hold on a second, Mr. Talk. You brought up Donald Sterling first. That's what I was calling
right.
in to talk about.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying, I'm not telling you what you do
on your show. You brought up the topic of Donald Sterling.
It's open conversation.
That was your first thing. That's what I meant to call about.
Okay, go
I'm
ahead.
I'm not telling you anything what to do with your show. That was the topic you brought out. Donald Sterling.
Tell him to read his.
No, I didn't read the description. I just heard what he was saying, and he was talking about Donald Sterling. He's gonna shoot me for telling the truth now.
No, I shot Michael.
Right.
You get shot too?
Okay. Wait, man, I'm still shot from yesterday. I get
right,
shot
so,
almost every day eventually, but it's all right.
Okay, go ahead.
Back.
Go ahead. Talk about
Donald Sterling doesn't seem to have a real organized handler or publicity campaign. He seems to be winging it, and he seems to be speaking his mind. But I can't deny that he spoke some truth yesterday. And it's not getting accepted by people because of who he is. And the truth that he spoke is that Jewish people go back and help their people, and that a lot of black people make it and don't reach back. Now, he didn't add more to it that they're discouraged to, and that there's a wedge driven in between them and the people that are that don't have as much as they do, and how they're discouraged more than likely by some of the people that help feed them, or that they're in business with that are hired them. But that was a real thing, and the truth is, Magic Johnson really hasn't done that much in the community, particularly in Los Angeles. He's opened some businesses, and even the businesses that he's opened, from the movie theater to the Starbucks and to the Fridays, he's only lending his name. He's only lending his name. They are financing everything, and he's getting a portion of it, just the same way that he was involved with the Dodgers. He's only lending his name, and he hasn't done that much in the community. And that's true. Now, as far as him talking about Magic having AIDS, apparently he's had this bone up his butt up about Magic for years, and it probably has to do with them winning championships and their success, the Lakers. It probably has a lot to do with that as well. But go ahead.
And what did you think about what he said about the black Jews over in Israel?
He told the truth there too.
Did he?
Well, the truth that he told is that they're treated like third class citizens. That they're treated bad.
And the Palestinians are being treated the same way. By whom?
By the Ashkenazi Jews that control Israel. Right.
Okay.
That's right. Some of the truth is leaking out.
But he's supposed to have dementia.
He's supposed to have what?
That's another excuse. That's just another excuse.
Where's Joe at today? We need some information from him about this.
No, we don't. Like I say, that's just an excuse. That's an excuse they're trying to use.
I know it's an excuse.
Hello.
What are you saying, Mr. Talk?
It's the more they talk, the more you would get out of what's really wrong with them.
Wes, yes, go ahead, Michael.
Well, if you listen to it, and I was trying to repeat, if you listen to what Beezy just said, right before they cut him off, he was about to say, there's no black person who did more for, and then he stopped. My theory, he was one about to say the Jewish community. That's what he was about to say. But he thought it was what he was about to say, and then he stopped. But he makes a very valid point. Exactly.
Right. He finally learned to stop. Like, hold on.
It shows no matter how successful Magic is, they will find something negative about a black person. He said, well, he got AIDS. He has AIDS. It's the first thing he said about it. But he is right. Look at all the stars. Look at all the Jordans. Most people in the suburbs don't buy Jordans.
Hold on. Now.
Okay, cut me off.
That's right. It's my show. I can do that. Now, I'll let you back in a minute. Look, it's like this. You know, I have said this I've said it at the beginning of the show, and I've said it before. You know, Donald Sterling is a part of a society, a secret society, okay? Now, here's the thing. He has ruined his image right now, which means that the society is not happy with him. And as they always do, the first thing they do is turn the situation around. How do you do that? You go after the other people's character, better known as character assassination. And that's what he's doing.
He's deflecting the attention off of himself, and he's from a different age, and he has some warped views. Okay, he has some warped views. But however, I'm not going to condemn the messenger completely. I'm going to listen to his message. And some of the things that he said were true. But, you're right. He's deflecting, trying to get some of the attention off of himself. That's absolutely what he's doing. But he's already done.
He's doing that. Right, he's already done.
But
what
I say, when it comes to what other people have, they have it, and it belongs to them, and it don't belong to me or to Earl, and they do it the way they want to do what they have. If they choose to help with it, they do it. If they don't, that's their business.
Most black people in the hood and from the urban environment buy Jordans. What have Michael Jordan tremendously done for the black communities with all those billions?
And well, I'm just saying,
when bought millions when dollars makes, of private prison stock.
Right, or he bought he got his sub districts, private homes that he built and things of that nature. His little small communities. That's how much money these people got. He got his own zip codes of real estate. But what I'm saying is, all of that, he makes a valid point. What have they actually done? We have these big stars with all this money. Have they made an impact? Because our people are looking up to them and trying to be like them. Are they going to give an impact? Because everybody's not going to. It's a one in a million shot.
Right.
But I'm saying, has it been an impact enough for Donald Sterling to not have to make that comment?
Well, look.
Because
hold on for me.
That's all
hold
I'm
on.
Saying.
Okay, but here's what I want to say. You know, everybody, Beasley is saying, well, he told the truth, right? Is that what you're saying, Beasley? He told the truth about what was going on.
Part of the truth. When he says,
just yes or no, Beasley.
No, but let me tell you the part that I said he told the truth.
No,
and I'll be real
yes,
fast. No, because all of it's not completely true. Okay? All of it's not completely true. But when he says Jewish.
I don't know who they think. I got the trigger finger today. I don't know who y'all think y'all messing with. Here's what I wanted to say before I had to keep going. Here it is. Now, when Clive the Rancher said what he said, and I said, well, I don't know whether I get mad because he told the truth. Everybody like, nah, he didn't tell the truth. But now, you know, it's, you know, all of a sudden, you know, this man is totally wrong. But now Beasley, and I'm sure there's others out there that said some of it is true. So I'm looking at this is, what's the difference? You know what I mean? What's the difference? Well, go ahead, Mr. Beasley. I ain't going to cut you off no more. I don't shoot you no more.
It's all right. Thank you. I'm shot enough. I mean, it's cool. You mighty violent. It's just some words. We do this all the time. We should be able to disagree without it getting violent.
Why don't we take this a learning experience on both sides?
I don't know what Clive Bundy said was true. Clive Bundy basically said, I've seen some black folks over here in North Las Vegas in the middle of the desert in the hood part of Las Vegas. And they were sitting around doing nothing, and if they knew how to pick cotton, they were better off then. That's what Clive Bundy said.
What he was saying is basically they have no work ethic. They rather just sit around and do nothing.
I don't know who he's talking about. He doesn't know what those people did. He drove by and saw them. He don't know what those people have been doing all day long. That was his perception of driving by. He doesn't interact. And you know that what he said was garbage. What Donald Sterling said that was true is that Jewish people go back and help their own. They go back and they help their own and they give their own opportunities. Where you have multimillionaire blacks that aren't doing the same thing. That they don't care about their people and their community enough. Once they get out, they're gone.
But what
and
I say, BZ,
can I
to
ask
that?
You that? Hold on, Mace. And how many black shows I've been on? Well, I've heard black people, black on black, powerful people, say the Asians and the Jews, they get a tub and they put together. He broke it down. He said that they take care. And so you cannot deny what he said.
And we also take care of them, too, because we give Israel money out of our tax dollars every year.
We're talking about how we deal with each other now, Mace.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So nobody's giving Africa, us in America, nothing.
Wait a minute, Mays, what land, what track are you on right now?
Donald's sitting over there saying what they're doing. He talked about the black people over there in Israel, which we're writing a check. Our country's writing a check given to them. So evidently he must not be doing too much for them. I mean, giving back. Because you got some in Ohio sitting, getting the same thing that the black community get. But he ain't saying nothing about them. You got to know where they are and what they're doing to order to have a conversation about it.
If you're only going to pay attention
Donald
to
Sterling
the racist,
is from Los
nerds,
Angeles,
listen,
though, Mace.
Listen, if you're only going to pay attention to his racist slurs and what he said about black people and don't pay attention about the other stuff he said, I don't think that's fair and balanced.
He didn't even use any slurs. He didn't call – he always said black people – he didn't use any – no, but he didn't use any slurs. What he said was that I just really don't like black people and don't bring them down. I'd prefer if they weren't in my games.
All right. Okay, we're going to move on because I got something I want to add to this. All right. Now, you see how a lot of individuals are up in arms about this thing. Donald Sterling and Michael Sams, right? They up in arms about it. Something has to be done. Now – there's another thing going on, and you don't hear too much about it. And something should be said about it because I'm just going to put it out there. What is wrong with our young men? They get these big contracts. They go into the NFL, all right, but they can't leave the drugs alone. I mean, talent out of this world, beast on the field, but they can't leave the stuff alone.
What kind of drugs are you talking about?
The kind of drugs that get you suspended for seasons.
Well, what kind of drugs? Adderall?
Right.
Because they use prescription drugs. All of them use a lot of them.
Then you've got
weed, which everybody smokes weed. All right,
damn it. Y'all just trying me today. God dang. All right. We talking about the drugs that get people thrown out of football leagues and basketball leagues, but mainly it's the football. Okay? We drafted Justin Blackmon in 2012. You know, last year he played four games. Because he couldn't stay away from the drugs. Now, you know, whether they're performance enhancing, marijuana, alcohol, something. Why aren't we more concerned about our young men doing that?
Because we're not definitely have the point.
Let's talk about drugs. Well, first of all,
No. Let's talk about what I just asked you.
What? You're talking about drugs, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm talking about why.
Drugs and the athletes.
Okay, so I have to talk about drugs. I have to talk about why people use drugs. What do you mean, Mr. Talk? Look,
not
I'm going to be quiet
drugs.
And I'm going to listen
to you. He's talking about the athletes.
So we still
the
have
why
to talk. The reason why athletes use drugs is the reason why everybody in the world use drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They're no different. They're not no Superman. That's what I'm talking about. But, Mr. Talk, I'm going to be quiet and listen to you.
Okay. Now, here's what I'm saying. You know, I know people use drugs all over the place, but yet, you have a job that depends on your or on you being there, you know, especially on the football field, because this is where a lot of it happens at. You know, now you've worked hard enough to where you done went and got drafted. You know, these people put money in you, but yet you can't stay away from things like marijuana, alcohol. You know, I see somebody said alcohol won't get you put out. In today's NFL, you get too many DUIs. Yes, it will. You know, but, you know, performance-enhancing drugs, you know, just things like that. And you, I mean, they have multiple talent out this world. Could be another Jerry Rice, but yet they can't stay away from the drugs. So, and I think it's about time that be addressed as well, because
yeah,
we have so many of them falling through the crack.
Okay.
But if they stop
giving
after the draft party, if they stop giving it to them, they won't get hooked. Because the person that never had anything can get hooked from the draft party that they have after they get drafted.
Oh.
That's
when
the deal comes in.
People, and I reason why I asked about drugs is because there's different categories. People smoke weed to relax and to chill out, you know, for the most part, and to take the edge off. People are using performance-enhancing drugs for just that, to enhance their performance. A lot of the Seattle Seahawks players were getting caught with Adderall. Adderall is like it's a stimulant. I guess it gets you a little bit more hyped. But you know, people are young and they make mistakes,
right.
And they probably see others that get away with it.
And a lot
of
them get drugged up and being hurt.
I would like to address something.
The painkillers get them. The painkillers cause some of it.
All right, because hold on, real fast. Hold on. Go ahead, Michael. Say what you got to say real fast before I bring somebody
else
in.
Because this is crazy. Well, first of all, the NFL is addressing that. That's why they're trying to pass marijuana for players to use and smoke. We had Kaepernick from San Francisco. You have a lot of NBA players smoke weed when they offer break in the summertime. It is what it is. And you're right. See, a job, you're saying, well, why are they putting it all on the wrist? Well, you have to ask that person. Using drugs is a personal choice and a personal problem.
Thank you, Michael. So what you're saying is you're getting paid $3-5 million, but yet you just got to have some weed. No, Michael.
Why does someone get paid $2 million and smack his wife? It's still the thing. Why does anybody get in trouble when they got money? It's life, bro. Forget the money and the job. They still going to do what they're doing.
All right. Hold on. Let me bring knowledge in. Oh, Mr. N2K, welcome to the show. Happy.
Hey. Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. All right. I had a few comments, but I'm going to stick with what's going right now. In terms of the drugs, you have to understand when you go into professional sports, and just using football as an example, okay, the average life of a football player is approximately 4 years. That's all it takes for a player to become vested and actually get in retirement status. That's pretty much unheard of on any other job that you're into. So the rate of attrition is extremely high. With that being said, there's a lot of pressure on these athletes to once they get to that level and once they prove themselves and they get that big money contract, there's a lot of pressure for them to stay on the field. Because in football, if you can't play consistently, you're of no good, regardless of what your talent level is. You're not much good if you can't play a full season and then tie a full season with another one, and another one. When you start taking into account injuries and surgeries, just like Mae said, I was a victim of it myself, getting injured, not necessarily taking steroids, not in the traditional way like a weightlifter would, but taking steroids to speed up the healing process. All of these things come into play, and the testing has gotten more sophisticated, so all you're hearing about is more players getting caught. Now, the weed and the alcohol, from a social standpoint, that's pretty much a harmless vice. Yeah, you'll get suspended a couple of games. You'll get slapped on the wrist. It's not going to be a career killer unless you're just totally in the tank. Whereas the steroids and the performance-enhancing drugs carry a much bigger penalty. And that's all I wanted to add to that. There's a great deal of pressure on these young men to perform, to do it consistently, and regardless of whether they get hurt or not, they know they got to get back out there as soon as possible because there's always somebody waiting in the wings to take their job. Always.
Well, hold on, Mace. You know what, knowledge, and I understand that, but here's the question I'm going to ask. Now, okay, I give them one time, but what I'm speaking of are the repeat offenders. All right, they gave you a break the first time. You know, they gave you a break, say, okay, you know, we standing by you. But once it become a habit over and over again, you know, I mean, since you say it happened to you, is there any way that someone can mentors or something in there to steer these young brothers correctly?
You can only mentor a grown man, but so much though. You only can mentor a grown.
All right, go ahead, N2K.
Yes. That's something that can happen, but like I said before, now looking back on what I did in college, man, I mean, at the age that I'm at now, it's like, boy, what an idiot. But at the time that it was happening, Okay. My only concern after knee surgery was getting back out there the quickest way possible. That was because of what I was doing. That was because of the love that I had for it. That was because of all the trappings that come with it. Even if you're not a super duper star, there's just a lot of perks when you're in that small fraternity of people. And it just has, it has a different effect on everybody. Some people can just steer clear of it and just work hard. I learned how to do that. It was like, okay, yep, don't want to do that no more. Anytime I can get a shot and I'm still feeling it 6 weeks later, that let me know, okay, that's not some shit I need to be dealing with. Not a shot that can last that long.
So the doctor should be responsible and detox them.
No, the doctor should not be responsible.
The
individual.
The injury is what's causing them to take the drugs.
No, not all the time.
A lot of these.
They started in high school.
Payroll. They're on the team's payroll. Every team in football has its own orthopedic surgeon.
Yep.
Every team. And they are getting paid by that team to be that team's orthopedic surgeon. And these are all.
Okay, hold on. Okay. Go ahead, Michael.
You still alive, Mike?
Yeah, I was muted for a while.
No,
go ahead,
Mr. You probably look like Swiss cheese over there. Let me watch
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Well, see, most of these guys is probably having that problem. They probably used the drugs and the marijuana or whatever before they even got into the league. So to say that, you know, they did use the drugs and they still made it to that point. But if someone is a repeat offender, and see, it's kind of difficult because you can mentor, like Beasley, he can mentor me in his business and show me how to do the business. But trying to mentor a grown man, another grown man on a personal level, is kind of hard because that grown man has to make his own personal decisions, how he talks to his woman, if he, you know, to watch and make sure he doesn't get a DWI. I mean, things of that nature, that's personal. So it's kind of hard for another man to do that, especially when you're dealing with a grown man. I mean,
okay.
you only can make suggestions to stop somebody using drugs to get them to stop using drugs. They have to want to stop using drugs. Rehab doesn't work. Nothing works. The reason why I ask you what kind of drugs, because knowledge put it out there. There's performance-enhancing drugs, and those guys take those drugs. In baseball, they get punished severely for it, but they keep doing it. In track, they get punished severely, but all of the best track athletes that are using performance-enhancing drugs, they're using steroids. And the reason why they use those drugs is because it can – well, it doesn't just increase their performance by themselves. It allows the muscles – to regenerate faster from the workout so they can work out longer and harder. Roger Clemens used to work out 5 hours a day. I'm like, how the hell can somebody work out hard five hours a day? Now we know because he was on performance-enhancing drugs. And when you perform better and put those numbers up, you're going to get a bigger contract. That's why they're using performance-enhancing drugs. As far as them using marijuana and alcohol, that's more of a social thing, more of a letting off steam thing. In all baseball clubhouses, okay, in just about every baseball clubhouse, and I've been in the Dodgers one a couple times, they have tap beer. Those guys drink beer after the games all the time. So alcohol is not frowned upon. Alcohol really isn't frowned upon. Now, of course, abusing alcohol is a problem and using poor judgment and getting behind the wheel. And that happens a lot as well. But that's why I asked for a distinction between the different drugs. Because people use different drugs for different reasons.
And Beasley's right about baseball. Baseball's been doing that, man.
Yes, they
right. 50, 60 years.
Right.
It's common to have beer.
So what type of drugs were talking about,
well,
Mr. Todd?
He was talking about all of them, but there's distinctions because they use different drugs for different reasons. Baseball is associated with beer.
Right.
The Milwaukee Brewers, okay? Milwaukee is a beer town. The Anheuser-Busch owns the St. Louis Cardinals.
Correct.
All you go to the baseball game, you go have a beer.
They used to play in Busch Stadium.
Busch Stadium. I mean, the Cardinals are owned by Anheuser-Busch, the Milwaukee Brewers. What do you think the brew is?
Yeah.
You go to the baseball game.
Alcohol is a drug.
Yeah, you go to the baseball game, you have a beer. What's more American than beer and a baseball?
Yeah, which is a drug, yeah.
Right. So baseball has a relationship with beer. In fact, just about all of the sports franchises and teams and leagues are associated with beer and alcohol.
Watch a football game.
Come on, it's what you do.
Yeah.
You drink a beer and watch the football game. What's more comfortable and natural and prevalent than that? And you're doing
it. And when a team wins a championship, what do they bust in the locker?
Champagne over their heads.
There you go.
They have the champagne ready.
There you go.
Right. So that's a drug. And alcohol is a more dangerous drug. You know, I guess you can abuse steroids. And I still don't think that's as dangerous as alcohol. And alcohol is far more dangerous than marijuana.
Hmm. All right. Interesting. But, okay. I was just wondering why, you know, we not up in arms about that also, you know, but I understand it's just common things that go on, and really there's nothing we can do about it.
Is it just
That's true. And well, I'm going to give you this little short, Mr. Talk. I'm going to give you this little short. Very good friend of mine, but actually I had two of them. They're both deceased. Played for the Raiders in the 70s, and one of them had hurt his knee. Okay, and when he hurt his knee was the year that the Raiders had just drafted Lester Hayes. Same person in his position. At this time, Lester Hayes is playing behind him. He hurt his knee. Now, this is back in the 70s. He got hooked on painkillers because them 6 weeks he was out, Lester Hayes was balling, and he was trying his damnedest to get back, to get in that lineup so he wouldn't lose his job. Moral to the story, in less than two seasons, he lost his job to the aforementioned Lester Hayes. And he was out of the league at that point.
Lester Hayes is one of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game.
Yeah, we can get an understanding by listening and somebody knowing what's really happening. And some things we see, we don't understand why it's not there.
Exactly. It's a lot of pressure on those guys. Because anytime somebody starts giving you a whole lot of money, it's a whole lot of shit coming with it.
Right, exactly.
Believe that.
Right.
Believe that.
They're not just giving it to you. You got to walk the line.
And he's a player that I feel gets way too much credit, but I will say this. The one thing that I admire about this young man so much is the way he has handled everything that's been thrown his way, and he's done it probably in a more unique way than any player I've ever seen, and yes, that is LeBron James.
Yes,
I've never seen a player come into a professional league that young and be able to handle. He makes it look so easy.
He's the president of the.
I knew who he was talking about.
He has a position already in the Players League, and plus he said, and they get him. He said LeBron James said that he don't want none of the Sterling family members to own no parts of that team. So they use his name, and his voice is already is a loud voice amongst the players.
You know
already.
What? And he also
he has a lot of power already.
The only two players, current players that spoke out were guys that are icons, that are you know, too big to get rid of, and no one said anything, corrected them, because their positions are so solid, is LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. Now, Kobe's at the end of his career, but LeBron's in the middle of his. But no, LeBron has handled things incredibly well, and you got to realize where he comes from.
Yep.
He's got a ratchet ass mama. He has a ratchet ass mama, and he also has
some ratchet friends. When he went into the pros, they have business together, and they still as tight as they want to be.
His mama's having sex with his teammate.
He's changed how everything gets handled. He had to go through his growing pains. And you're right, his little entourage was a little ratchet, but he corrected that also.
Yes, he sure did.
You don't even hear about entourage no more.
And he came into the league from out of high school and lived up to his expectations. And not too many people live up to their expectations. There's a lot of people that they crown the second coming that don't reach the pinnacle. And he's able to do it.
What I love about LeBron was that all that criticism that he received, he did the announcement of going from Cleveland to Miami.
He's a fan, right.
But what I love about that whole situation is that once all the dust settled, it's clear. He told his entourage, look, okay, they stick a mic in your face. You just defer everything to me. I don't need you guys saying nothing. Let me handle the league. Let me handle the press. And y'all handle this stuff over here. Y'all don't need to be getting no FaceTime. Just collect your money. And that's what they've done. They're just collecting their money.
Yeah, play the background and help me out. Be a part of this team.
He handles everything on his own now, publicly.
Well, the only thing that he did was a mistake, was making a spectacle of himself when he, you know, that's probably his ego, is when, you know, that was a mistake, and it has a lot of people that have, hated him and given him a hard time because of that. But
he just got married to his high school sweetheart. They've been dating for years. He just got married to her. I think summer.
Got kids with her and everything. You know, after seven, 8 years in the league, you know, all the side action that he had going on, and I'm sure that he did, it probably gets old and he's ready to commit.
But, Mr. Talk, you did bring up something very interesting, which I was thinking about, and you kind of stole my segue into that, was the relationship between the Donald Sterling and the Michael Sam thing. I remember years ago in college, and this is one of the best classes I ever took. It had nothing to do with my major. It was called Race and Public Policy. And that's when I learned what the hell was really going on when you see, anytime you see black folks get projected on a national level, it usually is in regards to some policy that's about to happen or a policy that's already been in place that they're about to change.
Yep.
Let's go back to the whole sexual harassment paradigm. When did that become clearly defined for the general public?
Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill.
And these things happen all the time with this whole Donald Sterling thing, with this whole Michael Sam thing.
Well, that's how life works, doesn't it?
What he's saying is things happen in our life and we change them.
Don't certain events happen, and then when those events happen, we may make laws to make sure that event doesn't happen again.
He's saying that these things don't just happen. He's saying that it's a policy. It's a think tank policy that, you know, the people behind the scenes that know what decide what, you know, decide the way the world's going to turn, that I don't know if they make these situations happen, but they seem to use black people as the example. And
black people are always the catalyst to institute either policy or policy change. That's how we do it in the United States. I can see it.
I understand what you're saying.
I can see it.
So anytime you have to have a paradigm shift off of something that's been extremely traditional, using Michael Sam as an example, we all know this is, everybody keeps saying, this isn't new. He's not the first one. He's not the first athlete that's gay. It's none of that. However, when you look at how he's being portrayed in the media, on one of my blogs, I even put this, I have never heard of a player drafted that low in the draft who's garnered this much attention
because
ever since
gay.
I've been following football.
That's getting congratulated. To let you know that
they're talking about his jersey sales are second only to Johnny Football.
Because of the community that he's in is the reason why his jersey sales are where they are.
And they spend a lot of money.
And they spend a lot of money. Because they're
right, homosexuals.
What they're doing, they're stealing our business.
It's all part of an agenda, though. It's all part of policy. It's all part of setting policy. Because if you notice, it was eventually going to happen, though.
Hold on. Go ahead and finish, Nog.
All right. If you look at that Michael Sam video from beginning to end, it went way beyond being happy that you were going to be drafted.
Right.
Okay?
A tongue kiss.
It should have been like we get that little 30-second, we get that minute where he gets the phone call. Okay, he's emotional. Okay, they kiss. All right, let's get back to the draft. Because most seven rounders, you didn't even see the media there showing them. You didn't even see it.
Of course not.
No, we got one kiss. We got another kiss. Now he's folded over. He crying. We get another kiss. Then they bring out the cake. Then they smashing cake in each other's face like this is a wedding ceremony. What the hell?
And I'm still trying to see who had him. Where's the person that had him? Where were they? I mean,
family. His father.
Was he dropped off the face so that he doesn't have family?
His father, when he came out as gay, his father distanced himself from him. His father said he didn't approve.
Which is crazy. Which is the problem of the world. And see, this is why they have to have discrimination laws. And like I hear some people rhetoric, you can't tell me that. I mean, how people in this country, they're going to discriminate. But I'm just want to say, eventually, this was going to happen. If we think that men or that we already have some gay athletes that are undercover, eventually, this moment was going to happen. So I don't think it was a big conspiracy. I just think they just went along with the flow.
There was another player
a year
before this. No, not that came out publicly. Kerry Rose. Listen to me.
Right.
Listen to me. On the blogs, there's a player. He played for Phoenix or Arizona. His name is Kerry Rose. And he had a little assistant that was called Miss Hollywood. And Miss Hollywood is very, very, very sweet. And they've got pictures of them laying in bed and hugging up and on the boat and on this, and that was supposed to be his assistant. And when those pictures got publicized, of course, he denied being gay. He denied being gay. And then they broke up, and Miss Hollywood told the truth, you know, and it was kind of obvious. And I think, I don't know if he's in the league anymore, and he's a good player. He was a safety. His name is Kerry Rose.
Well, what
so
about
they
the
put,
one...
Okay. We discussed this already. Okay, we good. All right, it's a personal thing, and depends on if you want to stay in the league. You do anything to stay. Some of them. I get it.
That could have been a point too.
Okay, I want to talk about now is the kidnapped girls over in Africa. Is it Africa? Yeah, and
Nigeria.
Okay. In Nigeria. And here's the thing. The guy that the what is Hoko I can't even pronounce
the
it.
President.
Boko Haram, something like that.
Yeah, Hoko Haram.
Not sure.
Did a video showing some of the girls, right? And basically what they're saying is you can have your girls back if you release our prisoners. So you know, and I don't know whether they like the United States. We don't negotiate with terrorists or whatever. But how y'all think that should be turned out? Should they go ahead and release his soldiers so they can create more havoc and devastation in the country? Or just y'all understand what I'm saying? That's a very, very... slippery slide right there. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
It's a consequence of negotiating, because if they do negotiate, then if the negotiation is successful, you'll have more people doing it and more kidnaps and to get prisoners. So you can't, it's a sticky situation.
It's a sticky situation. I think they should, you know, negotiate, but the people who kidnap those girls are on the wrong side of everybody. Trying to kidnap people to free some men in jail, some girls, nah, man. They definitely in the wrong.
Well, whether they're in the wrong or not, whether they're wrong or not, they still have the girls. See what I'm saying? So now, you just going to, if you say, okay, I'm not negotiate. So basically you saying these 300 lives belong to this girl is really not that important. To just to uphold an idea that we don't negotiate with terrorists.
You can't negotiate. No, you can't negotiate. Then bring the military. Get a military strategy plan. I don't know what they're going to do.
No,
no, you can't negotiate with them guys.
How many people are holding these girls?
I don't know.
Say what, Mays?
How many people are holding these girls? Because I only see one man with a gun.
Trust me, it's more of them.
Yeah, but I mean, one man with the machine gun against a bunch of high school girls.
You don't believe your lying eyes.
He got a good eye.
All right. Can we get back to the serious part of this?
I don't know. You know what? This whole story seems fishy to me.
Yes.
Okay. Why does it seem fishy?
Well, I saw a picture on the net this morning that showed United States spy planes over in Nigeria, like they're looking for the girls.
Right.
Nigeria besides South Africa, is the wealthiest country in Africa, and they have huge oil reserves. It's a big player in the oil game. And there's a lot of money in Nigeria. There's a lot of poor people too. And we all know that governments don't care about 200 people. They really don't. You know, and it just seems like it's set up for a way for the United States and NATO and whoever the powers that be to find their way into Nigeria. Now, it might be a real story, and of course, what's the saying? Don't let any catastrophe or calamity. Don't let any bad situation not get taken advantage of. We'll see what happens, and I agree. I don't know if you can negotiate with these people, but I mean it pulls at your heart to see, you know, schoolgirls captured and held in captivity, and they're talking about they're going to sell them into slavery or into sex slavery.
Right.
And that goes on too. So I mean it tugs at your emotions, but it seems kind of awkward to me, kind of strange that it would get international news like this. And I did see the picture of the spy plane. Of course, that could be yes, too. But I did see the picture of the spy plane that's supposed to be looking for them. What else are they looking for?
Well, 200 girls are kidnapped anywhere around the world. I think it's going to be world news, Beasley.
Horrible things are happening all over the world every day. Every day. Seriously.
Hold on, Mike.
There were ethnic conflicts. There were tribal conflicts in more than one in Africa where millions of people got killed. And I'm talking, and not just kidnapped. I'm talking about butchers with machetes. It happened during the 90s.
Congo.
Well,
I know the Congo.
The Congo's another one, but it happened south of there in Rwanda with the
Kobe.
Hutus and the Tutsis. And there's other tribal conflict and warfare in the Congo that didn't get as much publicity as that, where millions of people get killed and nothing was
right.
done. Nothing
when
was
I say,
done.
When I say the girl's going to be coming home.
Okay. And what do you base that on?
The president of Nigeria.
Okay.
Mr. Good Luck. His name's Good Luck.
Yeah, whatever his name. And he don't have nothing to do with it. He might be leaving his job.
Okay. You kind of lost me there. So, I mean, what is he going to do? To get the girls back?
What is he
going to do? Is he going to release
the girls back? The girls are going to appear. The girls are coming back. And he might be losing his job.
But you said the girls are coming back.
And the president, the people are not in love with him. First of all,
well, that has nothing to do with it. But how is he going to get the girls back?
I didn't say he was. I said they are coming back, and he might lose his job after they get back to where they're
supposed to be. Okay. What I'm saying is, I don't see the two together.
I'm seeing something fishy about the whole thing. Now all of a sudden we get pictures of the girls.
Well,
and everything. I mean, but at first, before it came out in the opening, he didn't know nothing. Was not even important to him at one time. But now people that are getting involved, we have pictures of the girls now. And I wish they would show what Nigeria really looked like than just showing them sitting in the grass.
It's real
or
rich.
Or showing a man with a gun.
It's real rich and real poor.
Well, you know, showing who's sitting in the grass.
Those girls that sitting in the grass or sitting.
You
well,
know,
I mean,
I'm just giving my opinion.
You know, the
yeah,
more
saying.
I think, the more I think, the more this is a bullshit. This is a whole bunch of crap. Because you can't tell me how important these 200 girls are when millions of people in Africa have been slaughtered, and they let them go at each other like that, and they were probably influencing them behind the scenes. And we're talking about millions of people. And you Google it. This is with all within the past 20 years. And I think in the Congo, they say it's like 3 or 4 million. In Rwanda, it was good grief. It was a couple of million people, too. Million people. Now, 200 people that are kidnapped is international news, and is that important? And is international news, but millions can get killed with hardly any attention at all.
But they can't get started right with how many girls it is. First, it was 50 got away.
A lot of people want to go to, and a lot of blacks in America want to go back to Africa, but they have to realize when they go back to Africa, there is a current government. They have current rules and laws. And if you don't like them, I mean, that's something that you have to definitely take into consideration when you're talking about gathering your whole family and going back to Africa and setting things up. And people don't realize that. That's why a lot of people
better than here.
I've known people that done it. I'm staying here, though.
Well, you're staying there. So, we never answered the question, should they or should they not?
Should they or should they not negotiate with the people?
Well, yeah, release the soldiers that's been captured, the prisoners, for the girls.
I don't know. You know, like you said, it's a slippery slope. There's arguments on one side if you know, caring about the girls also.
Mm-hmm.
It also sends a message for the next group with some machine guns to go raid a school and capture some people to get what they want. So probably maybe they shouldn't. But I can't.
Okay.
But I can't emphasize enough how important can these 200 girls be when the powers that be let tribes in Africa go at each other, and this is modern times. And murder millions. So I'm sure during these wholesale slaughters that were going on, it's happened a few different places in Africa, that they went into a school and just chopped everybody up.
Wow.
in order to kill millions, 200 is nothing. Mm. That's the work that was done before noon.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Hold on for a minute, Beasley. For those that may be trying to get on the line and doing things in the chat room, I do apologize. But right now, my screen is frozen. So BTR at its best. So, you know, once I figure out how to unfreeze it, well, I'll get you in, okay? So please be patient. Oh, all right. Go ahead, Beasley. I had to get that out there.
No, that's all. That's the more that I think about the tribal warfare that went on and millions of people have killed, just lets me know that there's something behind this story.
Well, see, here's the thing. You say tribal warfare. That means two tribes going after each other, right?
They were right.
Okay. So if that's the case, then why would that be even important at all? I mean, because they're saying, look, they're killing
because
each other.
Because innocent civilians were getting killed.
Okay. So now you have 300 innocent girls. They were in school. They were in school trying to get an education. Now, they have been kidnapped. What do you do?
I have no idea. No, I have no idea.
You know, the U.S. is, like you said, sending spy planes and stuff, and they talk about maybe putting some drones up in the air. But I'm like, okay. And the more I think about it, I kind of agree with you and Maze. It's something just not right about this thing here. It just doesn't smell right.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it doesn't smell right at all. You know, so I don't know. I mean, especially since they know who took the girls. You know what I mean? But then again, they could be working on some type of attack plan behind our back that we don't know about, and they have to make it seem one way, and they're going to go in and get them.
But, yes.
Huh?
You know, maybe NATO, the United States, maybe they want a foothold in Nigeria.
Okay. That could be it, too. Interesting.
Part of it is Americanized.
What?
Part of it is Americanized.
Well, yeah. They speak English. They speak English. They do business.
Yes.
You know, Nigerians traveled are all over the world.
They were educated over here in this country.
A lot of them were. A lot of them were.
And they always
wow.
back home.
They commit crimes. They commit crimes over here in this country.
Wow. Say they commit crimes.
Man, come on. Let's not.
The policy is about to be set.
I can't see it. I don't. I mean, there's probably something to what you're saying. I just it hasn't appeared to me yet.
First of all, I don't believe it. How you gonna 200 people?
You know what?
A community.
This is what I get from you guys.
I'm saying
this is what I get from you guys. Hold on, no. This is sometimes when I hear you. You guys always say I talk crazy. When I hear you, it seems like every time something happens in the world, normal people didn't do it. Normal people with beefs or normal people with their angers of the government or their ideology don't go out and do something. The government actually made people do it or set this up to do something. And I'm just saying, you may be right, the government, the CIA, they do something, but I'm letting you know, normal people with normal, people with crazy-ass minds do crazy-ass stuff, and sometimes the government has nothing to be involved with it. If I see two people fighting out in the street right now, government don't have nothing to do with that. If I see a man shoot somebody, the government didn't have nothing to do with that.
Yeah, but the
That's
government.
All I'm saying sometimes
the government will capitalize on the situation. I think I'm trying to think
okay,
of the thing. It's like don't let any crisis go to waste. So they'll take advantage of a crisis
because they don't like their president. And if I was looking at the pictures of those girls, they do not look like they are in fear. The next time y'all look at the pictures,
tell me what you see. You know, a lot of the times when people are held hostage, they're really not treated that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, they're being held hostage a lot of the times. Now, of course, there's times people are held hostage and they cut their head off on television. I mean, go figure.
Still sounds like policy being set to me.
Well, what kind of policy do you think might be being set?
Okay, let's look at it. For what it is. First of all, it's happening in Africa. Second of all, it's black people. Third of all, we know that Africa is tribal from country
mm-hmm.
to country. It's not a monolithic continent.
So even within countries, there's multiple tribes.
Exactly. So with that said, we know that these communities are very intimate. So to come in and take 200 people, regardless of if it's all females, all males, the fact that it's 200 people in a very close-knit community and nobody does anything and it still makes the news.
International news.
Something is rotten in Denmark. Yeah. Me.
But right. Just look at what kind of girls. Nobody don't know what kind of girls they are. Just look at
them. Well, they're supposed to be Catholic school girls.
Oh, those are Muslim clothes.
Oh,
Muslim
that's even better. Catholic.
That's what they're supposed to be Catholic school girls, and the guys and the group that's holding them are supposed to be Muslim.
Okay.
So now the Catholics can come forward and say, "Hey, we don't just have a thing for young boys."
But that's how the Muslims get down, though. I ain't gonna be no what. They get down like that.
Like how?
They bomb stuff. They kidnap to make that point. They don't That's nothing wrong. They will tell you that.
There's a small segment of all the population that's Muslims that's radicalized and extreme like that. But of course we've been conditioned and programmed to think that all Muslims are that extreme. And that's
just like
true.
All Muslims are programmed to think all Christians are bad, and they're extreme, which is false too.
Yeah, but
both sides say the same thing factually.
Well, some people are a little bit more reasonable and logical, and use their discernment. And then there's people that are pushed to the there's people that have extreme views. And anyone that condemns an entire group of people as being one way is not, they're just not right. That's not correct.
No, exactly. I would never condemn all Muslims, but I'm saying, you know, when Muslim radical groups do that,
that's
how they do it. They kidnap, they bomb, they go for innocent people.
Right.
That's how they do their warfare. That's all I want to say. A certain set. Because as we know, all religions evolve. Even Islam evolved. They have different sects of Muslims, which is crazy.
They've got Muslims that go to war with each other, the Shiite and the Sunni. They've been at war with each other for 1,400 years.
That's true.
Muslims are not the only one that blows up. I mean, that blows things up. Look at the Birmingham church.
And when Muhammad was
there,
those are terrorists.
Hold on.
Look at Timothy McVeigh.
Hold on, y'all. We got a bunch of people wanting to get in. So I finally got this thing straightened out. So let me bring
the 16th Street Baptist Church. I was reading about that last week.
Yes.
Hey, Eric.
Listen. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Hold on.
Okay.
All right. Area code 314, welcome to the show.
Hey, Joe, how's everything?
Thank you.
He is. All right. That's me, Anki. And 111, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Hey.
Okay. Oh, okay, Renee. All right. Welcome, Joe, Renee, and Pianki. All right, y'all go ahead and jump in.
So much misinformation, man. God, dog, yeah. Those kidnapped individuals are Nigerian citizens, period. It has nothing to do with their religious affiliation, the club or fraternity they belong to. They are Nigerian citizens. And a crime has been committed against them. And that's what the whole premise. They shouldn't be designated Christian or Muslim or anything else. They're Nigerians. And the same thing that's going on with them happens in Southside Chicago. And it wasn't just kidnapped. You know, these perpetrators posed as soldiers and took them out of the Troy school and under the pretense that they was taking them to safety.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did 50 of them get away?
But their religion was Muslim, right?
However, they got it. You have Nigerian citizens that follows Islam. They live in the South. They live in the East. They live in the North. Just like you got those that follow tradition that live in different areas than any other religion.
Let me go after Renee.
Okay,
it was a Catholic school, right?
No, it was a school, an educational school. Yeah, do it a Catholic school.
But did this really?
I read that it was a Catholic school.
Yeah.
Did this really have? Okay, I was going to ask the question: did religion really have anything to do with this, or they just needed a bargaining tool to get their soldiers released?
Well, they did something that was you can say that they done something that. Well, they really crossed the line committing this type of incident with children. I've been in Muslim countries before, and I see children standing on corners waiting on transportation. Don't nobody mess with children in those countries. But what you've seen here is something that's unprecedented.
Right.
I've ever seen before, and they need to be punished.
Okay. All right. Well, Renee, you got what you want to add?
Yeah, I just want to first say I'm not going to argue over anybody. You know, I'm
Hello, Renee.
Hey, Auntie Mays. I wanted to say I didn't get to really say anything. I want to say something about Donald Sterling's situation real quick. This kind of goes along. Not that anybody on this right now has said this, but... this goes right along with when I say black people don't believe or don't listen to anything a black person says, but they will take what a white person says and believe it. And so when Donald Sterling came out and said the same thing I said and a lot of other black people have said, but now it's getting the attention of black people, excuse me, because he's the one that said it. The reality is that people don't understand. We don't require anything of a black person who becomes successful. We are like pretty much the only race who does that, ignorant. You look at any other race, you look at them, do things to give back to the ones who are the have-nots within their race. For us, we look at it as, well, you made it out. Well, pull your own self up by your bootstraps. And I wanted to give y'all, somebody sent me a Facebook, and they said that, Jason Black, I don't know if y'all know who he is, but 75% of black children are born to single mothers. 76% of NBA players are black. 66% of NFL players are black. 78% of NFL players file for bankruptcy within 5 years of retirement. 60% of NBA players file for bankruptcy within 5 years of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So that's showing you right there that these situations, you know, these black men get in these positions to get money, and it's showing you right there, they don't even know what to do with it. So we have the same ignorance going on back and forth in the black community. Then they have something up saying Joe Montana has a real estate development company, and he wants to spend almost $500 million to build a hotel entertainment complex next to the 49ers stadium. Anyone heard of anything similar coming from a black retired player? Absolutely not.
Yes, you have.
Not to that level. Not to that level. And the reality is, if we have all of these black men that are in these sports making it, why don't we require anything of these people? Just like I talked about, Dr. Dre gave $35 million to USC. Yet black people turn ahead and say, that's his money. He can do what he want to do with it. Of course we know it's his money. Why is it that if you raise the hood to become successful, you then don't want to give anything back to the hood on any real level? And I just think it's ridiculous. And I don't know, as black people, when we're going to wake up, that we don't follow, we follow the wrong mold of other races of people. We don't follow the right mold. We don't follow the right mold of being financially literate, about helping the ones who are at the bottom within our race. Having unity, we never look at any of those models. We go for all the bad stuff. We go for reaching out. And we're the only one, this is the last thing I want to say about this. We're the only
Renee,
people.
What you do with one that been up to
wait
the top
minute, wait,
of
wait.
The bottom?
We're the only
so
people.
Started, okay?
There we go.
We're the only people. Hmm. If you
so
listen to the music, you listen to hip-hop music, and you hear those guys make it, they get these contracts. And they literally, and I don't want to say this word, but they tease, basically, on poor black folks. The one who's downloading their music and buying their music. They talk about how I've got a Bentley and I'm going to San Tropez and I got this and I got that. And you know damn well the people that's listening to you most of the time don't have a dollar in their pocket, lights off, gas off. But yet you're telling them about this money.
Well,
and that's putting the wrong idea, and that's why they get into selling drugs and all this kind of stuff. We're the only ones that do that.
No, we're not.
All right, now, can I get
that's
in my...
The fact of the matter is most of those rappers don't have
minutes?
It either.
Can I get in my 10
they're
minutes?
They're not getting any good contracts. Go ahead, Joe.
Hold on, okay. Beaksley. Okay, go ahead, Joe.
All right. I want to address the problem over there in Nigeria. Firstly, it was a Christian girls, 300 Christian girls.
That's 300.
Abducted by the Sharia people. Whether or not it was done, it was probably done, influenced by MI6 and CIA, because it's supposedly, an agenda again to divide and conquer. But even if not, Beasley was right when he said governments like to take advantage of a crisis, as said by whatever that guy asshole's name was when he was chief of staff, now the Chicago mayor. And
Manuel,
that's him. So they like to do that. Also, prior to that particular incident, they had kidnapped boys, but there wasn't enough of an uproar, so they went for the girls. And now Michelle Obama's involved.
Right.
So here they are trying to start some sort of international incident, and as some people probably mentioned before I got on the line, Nigeria is probably rich in oil, rare earth.
They are.
Thank you.
Mace,
you got more
Mace,
black billionaires
Mace.
In Nigeria than you do anywhere in the world.
You know what?
Okay, but okay. You're not going to take a country over for 200 girls. What are you talking
right.
about, Joe?
She's
not about the 200
right.
girls. That's
okay.
what he's telling you.
But here's the thing.
All right.
They're probably doing it in order to spark some sort of international incident and get the United States.
Okay, one more just for fun. All right, continue on, Joe.
Oh, I didn't know whether to duck or to absorb the bullets. Okay. The thing is that the United States will get involved in this, just like they're going to get involved in Ukraine, because the whole world is involved in imperialism, nationalism, and all kinds of expansion. And the other thing about what Renee said about going back to the hood once you left it, who the hell wants to go back so that you set up some sort of business in an area which is destitute so that your business can get robbed? And how many people do that anyway? And besides which, I'm sure there's other ways for black people to contribute besides going back to the exact same spot. Like, for example, if you ever seen The Sopranos and you saw what happened to Newark and some other places in New Jersey, why do you want to go back to – you could go back to rebuild the place, but then again – you still got people there who are going to be on drugs, rob, etc. The best thing to do is, I keep saying it, but it's just take care of your family, and your family will prosper, you know. And people should unify, but they don't. So that's the end of my my
thing.
That mindset
is what keeps us.
Wow,
that
look
mindset
at that.
Is what keeps us where we're at.
Not me this time.
I wanted to ask him what he think about Sterling.
Who, me?
Joe, yes.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. All right. Renee, didn't you just ask something?
Yeah,
say something?
I said what he was saying is the mindset that keeps black people exactly where we're at. That right there. When you talk about giving to the hood, I want to say something about the hood, first of all. The hood, so to speak, gets a bad rap about everything. But let's remember, not every person in the hood is a bad person, a criminal, a crook, a thief. Okay, there are people in the hood who are well-educated, trying to get more educated, but may not have the money or the resources to do so. It's people in the hood that care about their children and their children's future and care about their safety and care about the violence going on in the community around them. Let's not generalize every single person in the hood and put them together and talk about they're going to rob you, they're going to do this and that. And also the other side of the coin is, I'm not saying that blacks who are wealthy should just give out money. No. But as I said before, there are black young people who are very intelligent, who want to go further in life and want to go to college. And they don't have the money. They have to take care of their younger sisters and brothers, or they may have other situations going on. Why not try to help the young people who do want a brighter future, who do want to do something? It's not necessarily about going to the hood and just giving them money or opening a store. There's a lot of different ways if you want to help economically black people at the lowest level that you can do it.
And so I don't know where to go and look.
Right,
Brandon
Edwards
there.
Did.
So everybody
hold
can
on.
Do it now.
Okay, hold
me
on.
To answer
hold. Yeah, let Joe answer May's question. Go ahead, Joe.
I don't think Sterling should have had his team taken away from making that kind of statement.
And please elaborate.
That's his team. He can feel any way he wants about people. That's free speech. He didn't say the N-word. He didn't even say anything derogatory about black people. Of course, he implied it very, very strongly. But to have your team, your possession, your private property taken away because of political correctness, this is one thing that a lot of people don't seem to understand is the slippery slope. What can happen to one
right.
can happen
to, all.
To the other.
Right.
Who took it away?
Well, the
NBA.
Well, they haven't taken it away yet, but they're going to make a move to.
Right.
We'll see if they'll be successful.
I have a perfect example for you. Hold on. Now, Joe, please.
Okay.
Joe, I have a perfect example for you.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's say the NBA is a private company. Let's go to your anarchy situation, right, your politics. The NBA has their own constitution. They say that we want to go ahead and vote. 75% of us can kick his ass out. But another person, his lawyer says, hold up, I want the United States government, the state government, and the United States government to come in and say, forget those that constitution with those men, that private institution, ride over, and we're going to override. That goes against what you say, Joe.
Well, I let me answer that. I agree with you.
Okay, so what are you talking about then?
And they do have that type of agreement, but that agreement probably, and this is, it's not, I don't think, I could be wrong, I don't think that is completely private. I think they have to be under the aegis of the antitrust division.
Of course they have to, and of course they operate here in the United States of America, and of course a federal judge can make a ruling and stop what they're doing. And that's exactly
right, but
what he's going to get them
Listen, my argument is with Joe.
Very, very brief.
One,
get,
two.
Oh, fuck. Okay, I'm done. No, the thing is...
No, you're not. We won't answer.
Hold on.
You need your point of view.
Here we go. All right.
The thing is that, you're right, Mike. If it was completely private, wasn't under the antitrust bullshit, then I wouldn't want the state or the federal government to come in and say, yeah, we can stop this. No. Since the NBA has that type of contractual arrangement, then they have the right to expel him. However, my thing is that I believe that that particular type of contractual arrangement wasn't really done with free will. Probably done under arrest by the government.
Safe to say that the NBA didn't anticipate this type of situation in the language of their bylaws. The only real provision that they have for expelling a member is if he's not able to support the team financially, which means if he can't pay his bills.
They got rid of the lady in Ohio. What was her name?
Marge Shaw. That's a different league, and she offended different groups of people. But what's similar about it is that sponsors do not want to catch the backlash of looking discriminatory because it's going to affect their business. That's why State Farm and Carfax and all of those other companies jumped off the Clipper ship real fast.
And they just like they did with the Rush Limbaugh, and they'll be back.
But what I'm saying is, like, how they did Reverend Wright at the time they was all in his church.
And that was wrong, too, because I had
And you hear people, hear people discuss speaking and somebody listening, But the whole, every sermon that he did was put out in front of everybody to see. That would have been personal.
No one did that. They took the sound bites, which was taken out of context.
Yes, they were taken out of context, but they were put
right
out there. So
and
nobody
it was inflammatory.
Never was
taken
what
out
they
of context.
Yeah, and the way that
but
they
think Sterling was right.
And
yes,
and Wright and Reverend Wright was right in what he said. Not only for the right,
but
to
you
wasn't
with him when he you wasn't with him when he
what do you mean
saying?
I wasn't with him?
He was against him.
Freak, do you know?
We were talking about it on the radio, remember?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you having a senior moment now, okay.
All right. Y'all having your own private radio.
You know what?
Radio
you know what? At the time Joe might have been in favor, you know,
no,
or
I
might have been
I was,
or you might have been against him at the time, but you've taken
no
some time to reflect.
No, I know.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Look, a libertarian
Joe
point of view is supposedly consistent.
Joe.
My
but
point
Reverend
of view has been consistent. Reverend Wright, he said, God damn America, because of what it did to black people. You take a look at the history of
but
what America's done to black people.
I
have no.
That's not the context. The context.
That's not what it was.
He was speaking in the person of a Middle Eastern person of
so
why
let me tell
they,
what
of
I told
why
him that
they've
day
acted the way that they have, of why 9/11 happened. That's what
yes,
he was
that's what they were
about.
Upset about.
Chickens came home
not
to roost, and he also said, God, don't God bless America, God damn America, because of the chickens coming home to roost, primarily of what not only was the foreign policy way out of line, according to my own libertarian principles,
mm-hmm,
but what also happened to black people. Now, Mays, you and I
it's
don't
like
own
I told
a,
you, Joe,
you don't
I
follow
t-
me everywhere,
I
do you?
I told you it was in the Bible. I said the word that he said was in
well
the Bible.
You
and
remember
up, that's
all
exactly
this, Mays, after
remember
being on the radio for 4 or 5 years? Cool.
I'm glad you started liking women and stopped hating
right
so much.
I don't know what you're talking about now. Well, I never do. That's all right.
Yeah.
That's
all
how
right
I met Joe.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sick.
Yeah,
I've
been talking to Joe
days,
for a long
anyway
time. He's nothing new to me. That's why I want to know about Sterling. And so
I
want to
make a comment
Limbaugh
to what Renee
he
said.
He's not a libertarian.
Go ahead.
There's plenty of athletes, and there's plenty of people that have done positive things. And one of them
yes
I know for,
okay,
and there's not enough of them, but there are some, and one of them is Braylon Edwards. And I don't think
mm-hmm
he's in the league anymore. He used to play for the Jets. He was with San Francisco for a while. He's the guy with the beard. And I think he promised to send 700 700 students that at in an area if they had a certain grade point average and did a certain.
All right,
achievement,
Joe, fix your mic.
I am. I'm going to do it in a second.
That he promised to send them
right
to college and finance it all the way
hello
through.
Hello,
I'll
be quick.
Mr. Tuck, I think it cost him something like $1 million.
Okay,
this should be better.
In between the time that he made that pledge and those students graduated with the requirements, he lost his job.
Hmm.
And he still followed through.
Joe.
That's great.
Yeah,
okay.
Joe.
Yeah. Braylon Edwards, and I'm sure there's
there's
probably
there
some others.
Yeah,
and there should be more. And
yes,
should we require them? I guess what she was saying that we don't really support them
mm-hmm
unless they give back. And she has a point. But again, it is their money and they can do what they want with it. But they should have a sense of community and a sense of their people to try to do something.
Let me ask, Beely, you finished?
Well, they're not going to give away money now. Come on now. You know, I was listening to Renee. Professional athletes have a hell of a pension. You know, NBA players at 62 get $57K a year. After you're in 11 years, $195K a year. The NFL, according to this list, they receive $5,640 a month for every year they serve. A friend of mine that played for the Detroit Lions. A friend of mine that played for the Detroit Lions, Demetrius Johnson.
They get no pension.
Yes, they do. They do get a pension.
No. You have to reach a certain amount of years. You have to play 8 years.
Well, I got a
friend
of mine.
And the average, I'm telling you the truth.
Beasley. Demetrius Johnson is a very good friend of mine here in St. Louis. Played for the Detroit Lions. And he does very well with his pension after a year of 35.
Mm.
And, of course, there's Major League Baseball. After 43 days, they entitled 34K a year, and after 10 years, over 100K a year. So they do very well when it comes
Johnson
down to pension.
Play?
Pardon me?
How long did he play?
Well,
I don't know how many years.
Okay,
did you
hold on.
Let me
in the chat room. H2O in the chat room. H2O say it only takes 4 years in the NFL for you to receive a pension.
It used to be eight.
I thought it was three in the NFL.
It used to be eight. That means they changed. They changed that recently. They changed that within the past four or five years.
Actually, they changed it probably about 20 years ago. 4 years, you're vested.
I guess I'm on the late freight then, if you're right.
And the players union, when they renegotiate all that stuff too. So it has a
all right. After four credited years, they're able to receive $65,000 annually.
That's a living. You can live on that, but you can't sustain the lifestyle they want.
Well,
to have.
As far as
giving away money, Piazza?
At the age 45, Beasley. No, actually, it's at the age it's 35. Until age 35, or 5 years after your last credit is ceased. So if you start playing in the NFL at 20, and you work, you play until 25 and 30, you can start receiving that $65,000 annually.
But
did you know some of the players?
They don't receive any health care, but they don't receive any health care. And most people that retire from the NFL retire.
They have a health care reimbursement account also.
Do you know some of the players?
I just want to say something. The reason why they lose all their money is because these athletes, they get a lot of these women pregnant. So you got to realize, if you get a lot of women pregnant,
they do a lot of it.
Athletes don't get no more women pregnant than anybody else.
If you get a lot of women, if you get 4 or 5 women pregnant, that's 4 or 5 households that you have to take care of. That means salaries. So that's why they go broke.
That's five
houses that you have to support. You got to pay the cable bill, the car, all that for 5 houses for family. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff why they go broke.
A girl that I came up with who had a baby by Jason Kidd on not a relationship. They just had a couple of rolls in the hay. And he just got finished. He supported her roughly $10,000 a month, and I think it worked out to $2 million. So, yeah, that's a major cause. It's not the only cause, but that's a major cause.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the athletes, some of them do, many of them don't.
Some of the athletes, if they don't have a certain person controlling their money, they don't even get to play. They made it to the pros, and then they're gone. Because if you don't have the right lawyer that's balancing your money,
the way they wanted to put it
and giving it to the charities they want you to have, you're gone, or you're going to play in an overseas league. That's what happened to a lot of them.
Well, that's called lack of financial awareness, and that's why.
Yeah, but if you...
That, but see,
if
here
you
it is.
Play that again. Hold on.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, you know, we're talking about something at the end where if we start teaching our kids about finance and economics when they're younger, by the time you get up there, we wouldn't have these problems with these young men. That's what I'm saying.
Maze is saying something completely different from what I understand. Let me ask you this question, Maze. Did you say that certain members who won't go to the NBA, if they don't invest their particular money in certain investments, they're not allowed to play in the NBA? It's like an under
that didn't say that they'll be sitting on the bench. It's political, just like everything else in all.
How do you know
sports.
This?
It's political. How do
Come
I know?
On now, man.
Evidently,
know
I must
about
know somebody
sports.
That it happened to.
All right.
Oh,
you know,
well, he had to. He saw. He didn't know how to play. He's not that good.
Because
he's not that good. He's not that good.
He was good. He was good, and he's good. I don't think
you can get blackballed out of the league if you don't.
Oh yes, you can. You can get
if you don't choose if you don't choose the lawyer and the accountant that they suggest.
Yes,
if
your mother
but
was,
I do know, I do
mother,
know in entertainment
Jesus,
and in sports that
if
they.
If your
do,
mother had your lawyer and everything that you needed, but it wasn't the right one, and you was good at what you were doing, just because they didn't like the people that was behind you, you get sent to a sorry team and you don't get to play.
I'm not
but when you go over to the overseas league, you're doing great.
Okay. First,
compared to when you should have been playing over here just because the lawyer that you had, you didn't
football,
like.
When you get your chance,
he wasn't like a
political
lawyer.
Need to start lying.
I don't have any energy.
Okay.
I don't doubt.
I'm sure. Ouch.
All right. Who was saying
that
something?
Shot all in my ass.
I was trying to say something.
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, okay. Go ahead,
okay.
Joe.
Okay. That I don't doubt that this could happen because you're taking advantage of kids whose major goal in life is to be under the spotlight of the NBA or the NFL. I just like to know where I can go and look it up, because if that kind of thing is happening, that's something that should be exposed. That's the ruination of a child, because when you're getting out of college at 18 or before you graduate at the age of 21 and you're a freshman, sophomore player, you're still a kid. That's the ruination of a kid and his career done by adults who are trying to take advantage of the kid's money. That, to me, is serious business. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. I'm not saying that it does happen, but I have no doubts that it very well could.
You're right, Joe.
I'm agreeing with you. What the freak are you talking about?
You said you're not saying it doesn't happen.
I can't say it does. I can't say that it doesn't. But I have no doubt that it could.
You didn't hear
it. I know it did happen.
Oh, God, Maze. I mean, even the minor community,
okay.
You still got to be out.
And I can tell you two of the teams you played for.
That's one player, man.
No, it's not. It's a lot of players. I know football players, basketball players.
Okay. All right, Maze. Thank you. Beasley, you had something to say?
No, I apologize for being wrong about the 8 years and in the 4 years. I didn't know that.
Okay. Well,
I'm
Renee,
old information. I usually don't say something unless I know what I was talking about. I wasn't up to date on that one.
Oh, okay.
You're human, Beasley. You're human. You're not a robot.
That's right. Everybody, nobody.
You know, wait a minute. Hold up. You know, you two chatterboxes. You know, I y'all gonna talk to each other here for a little while. All right. Go ahead, Renee.
Yeah, I wanted to say, I heard you guys talking about this, Mrs. Talk, at the beginning of the show about Michael Sam and everything. And I wanted to say, I think, again, that people get confused what I'm talking about. Of course, I'm not talking about telling people what they can and cannot do in their bedroom. And what it's about is the young people, the next generation. And that's why I say we need to be honest about what homosexuality does, what it entails, what the results of it, are going to be. And for young people, I will tell you this. Any of you guys, I can send you information, or if you're on Facebook, I can send it to you. But the young people, I'm talking about teenagers right now and people under, I'll say, 22 or 21. This is the biggest thing going on now. These young people are sleeping with boys and girls, okay? It's being made to be normal and acceptable and natural. So when we as adults are talking about you can't go in someone's bedroom, we're talking about kids who shouldn't even be dealing with that anyway. And these are the things that they're being faced with. So I just wanted to say that to people. And as far as Michael Sam, of course, the whole thing is a con. You know, ESPN was right along with this whole gay agenda and push. They did not need that man to smash the cupcake in his face and then kiss the cupcake off his face. I mean,
lick
why
it off.
Would people see that?
Overnight.
And even if there, wait a minute. Even
okay.
if that were men and women, little kids don't even need to see that, even if it were men and women. It was bad enough that they kissed. Fine. They didn't need to show that. They didn't have to show that. But this
well,
is the thing, and I don't understand why people don't say there's
that's
not a gay agenda.
That's where your mind goes crazy.
Can you
that's
not say
can I ask Renee a question?
No.
That's why your mind is corrupted
first.
Right there.
This is the last part, then I may go. But I still do not see how people cannot see themselves that it's a gay agenda. Why else would that situation like that happen? Why would they promote that? Why would they push that? And again, mind you, this is a black person. This is a black athlete. Yes, his boyfriend is white, but he's getting all the shine. Everybody's attention is focused on him, the black man. And he's completely sold out. He sold himself completely out. He is a fool. and he's going to regret that he did that situation like that.
Okay, now can I ask
a question? Wow,
I agree with her.
I'm asking a question.
Yeah,
can I ask another question?
But Bianca, you've talked trees before, so.
Okay,
I agree with her. I'm going to tell you something.
When we grew up, what do you think we came up with? And what did you think we saw when we were coming up?
Nobody's saying homosexuality haven't been around forever. Again, missing the point.
It didn't turn out to be what it taught us to be.
It was not promoted and being pushed at that time.
I'm going to tell you a person to look at Little Richard.
No, that's not promoted. And Little Richard never came out and said he was gay. He was effeminate. No, he didn't in that time. He was effeminate. And it was not being pushed at that time. When you were a child, it definitely wasn't being pushed.
But I keep trying. Oh, yes, it was. We knew who the gay people were. They were not hiding.
Okay.
No,
they were not hiding.
Wait a minute. Hold up. Wait.
It was pushed.
Hold up. Now, see, something just got exchanged right there, and I think people, y'all missed it. And Joe may have caught it, but I know I did. Now, Maze, you said
what?
We knew who the gay people were. That's what you said, right?
And they were not hiding. No, they weren't.
No, but listen to what I'm saying.
Yes.
You knew, but none of them came out and said, you know, hey, I'm flaming, right?
Really? Mm-hmm.
And the only thing you based that was on perception, right?
No.
Yes, you did, because you didn't know for sure.
Right.
Okay, I didn't
right.
know for sure then.
Okay, then. So, now, in this instance, there's no doubt in anybody's mind that Michael Sam is gay.
Mm-hmm. But y'all remember when my brother always brings him. Y'all remember when David Byrd and what's his name kissed each other?
No, I don't.
Talking about Magic Johnson.
Oh, you remember that shot?
Yeah, he kissed Isaiah Thomas too. So what?
Okay.
What is that for?
I mean, what's your point?
They was kissing back then, and they kissing now, and they was court players.
Can I try to make this simple? What Renee is saying is that everybody either had the perception, as Eric was saying, that some people were gay even though they didn't come out. When they did come out later, now that we know that they're gay, the agenda today is not quite as strong or as pervasive as it was back then. Today's agenda is a political agenda in order to try, according to Renee, and according to me, the political agenda would be to divide and conquer, according to Renee, if I understand you right, Renee, is to try to destroy the black race, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and you are getting black people who are now, and this is a reality, y'all. Again, we have to think about the young people. We're not talking about older people, okay? And the thing about it is we have a lot of black young people who are no longer affiliating themselves truly with the black community. They're aligning themselves with the gay community. We have to wake up. So when we talk about the future of black people, we're already talking about several generations to come that are already going to be predominantly homosexual or experimental. I'm not going to say predominantly, but we're going to have pretty sizable numbers of people engaging in that.
If you look at the young people,
so you have to understand they're aligning themselves with being gay instead of being black. And what's happening is, that in itself is giving the gay movement more. That's giving the gay movement more power, okay, and more political power. As blacks, we don't have any political power. They know they don't have to pander to us. They know they have to pander to gay
people.
Right.
Let me ask you something. You say,
so, hold on. No, I need to respond to. So hold up. First of all, a person with a disability, you cannot discriminate with someone with a disability.
Who's saying anything about a disability?
Listen to me, because I'm going about our civil rights. You're saying with a person with a disability who's saying they should not be discriminated against, they're trying to say that they're black, or a person with a different ethnic group saying that they should not have been discriminated against, they're trying to be black. No, they have their issues, and people like you and your rhetoric discriminate against them. Factually. Now, hold up, Renee. I want to say something. See, we had a problem of people not coming out. What I'm hearing from you, you want gay people to know that they're gay, but keep it to themselves. Never utter and utter and tell the world that I'm gay. And if they do that, they expose me to the world. And I say, hold up, what type of world are you living in? And who dictated, who made you boss? Listen, it is a good chance that if someone is who they are and they come out and they let us know, then you know how to deal with them. Then they'll stop being down low. So
you have to understand.
Well, that's just the point. That's just the point. If they come out and say, I'm happy they're coming out and say that they're gay. I'm happy they're coming out and say that they're gay because I don't want to disassociate with them, which you have a right to associate and disassociate.
But the ones you do, Beyonce,
they're
making that harder and harder.
No,
I
ain't
making
it
harder.
I wouldn't marry no woman. If you
was
a woman, would you marry a man that was once on the down low?
Of course not.
Huh?
What I mean,
they're going to eliminate themselves.
Wait a minute.
Leave them alone. Let them go ahead and do what they want to do. And another point, you're talking about back during Little Richard's time. Little Richard, if he got TV time, it was on Ed Sullivan. This thing that you just seen was all over the place. And what in the world? I don't want my kids seeing that. Back in the day when we were watching TV and something explicit came on the screen, you would put your hands over your kid's eyes. Or make them go in another room. You leave them sitting there.
Hide them from the world.
No, you hide them from that mess.
People don't want... So when they go out into the real world, they won't have any idea.
No, it's not the real world, Beasley. It's the United States. I know some countries. I know some countries you go to. When you go through the airport, there's a sign there as you go through customs. They tell you what's permitted and what's not permitted in public. They don't permit affection showing, grouping, rubbing on, even between man and female, let alone same sex.
But you know what? We're in America. So I don't know about these other countries that you speak of.
Well, no, in America, you got a right to associate or disassociate. I don't want to teach my kids.
Little Richard, whoever brought up Little Richard is a perfect example. Here it is. You have the true father of rock and roll who was very feminine.
Little Richard wasn't the father of rock and roll.
He was. Elvis Presley.
He was not.
You would say Elvis Presley?
He was not.
All right,
Presley wasn't
a
father of rock
and
roll neither.
He's a pioneer. Muddy Waters is the father of rock and roll. It doesn't matter. That's not my point. My point is here it is. You have an effeminate black man that had the world stage. That had the world stage in the 50s when black people weren't on TV at all. When TV wasn't even 10, 15 years old.
And did they promote him as being homosexual? No, they didn't.
He's also a minister. And I've met Little Richard years ago.
They focus on his talent.
I've met Little Richard. Let me tell you something about Little Richard.
Father of rock and roll.
They focus on his makeup.
Let me tell you something about Little Richard. Little Richard may be gay, and he's also a minister, but Little Richard is not the type of dude that you want to fool around with. I watched Little Richard pull a gun on somebody behind repossessing a car of somebody that was a member of his congregation.
They should have paid the damn car note.
But that's
they should have paid the car note. They should have paid the car note. But Little Richard is not.
If that happened in Florida, he's facing 20 years.
Wait, hold on, Beasley. You gave a perfect example right there. You gave a perfect example. Who Maines had brought up Little Richard. That's the thing. Somebody said he was on Ed Sullivan and things like that. The focus on him was about his talent and his music. You never saw them putting his boyfriend on TV, him kissing his boyfriend after he won an award and all that kind of stuff. They focused on the talent. They need to focus on the sports. We don't need to see him smashing a cupcake and eating it off his, licking it off his man's face.
I agree with you.
I
agree with you that there's a gay agenda, and that shit was definitely extra, and nobody needs to see that. So I agree with you that there's a gay agenda. I'm just saying I can't stop it. I'm going to live my life, and people that want to have sex with the people of their same gender, that's their business. And
But this just shows we don't care about our children in the black community because that's where the focus needs to go. You keep talking about what people are doing in bedroom. I'm not talking about that. I said it a million times. We need to look at what's going on in the school, what's going on in the entertainment industry. And people don't realize, y'all keep saying, well, don't let your child see it. Well, turn the channel. Again, we all know that as children become teenagers, They listen more to what their peers are saying and what's going on in the entertainment industry than what their parents are trying to tell them about what's right and wrong. So when you have young people who are being indoctrinated at a very young age, that homosexuality is normal, it's natural, and there's nothing wrong with it, it's not unhealthy, then why would they then become fearful of it? Why would then they become to say, well, you know what, maybe I'll try it out and see if I like it. And then you get people that become trapped in that lifestyle. It's not about us adults, people. It's about the children. And when you have that going on, you don't build a community. And that's what I keep trying to tell people. They keep saying, we have other bigger issues in our community. What's more important than the children? What bigger issue do we have than the children? Because we know a lot of the things we're supposedly fighting for right now are not going to come to fruition in our lifetime. But we have to think again about the future. And if you had these young black people aligning with gay people, okay, what does that say about the black movement when, like, 20 years from now, 30 years from now? What does that say about that? When you have your black young kids are so damn assimilated. They're so assimilated. They hold on to no, absolutely zero culture of the black community anymore. There's absolutely nothing of our own. I want to, this is the last thing I want to say. Yesterday I saw a commercial on TV here. We have the Royals, and there was a Royals commercial for the baseball team, and they're having Negro League Day. Now, the Negro League Baseball Museum is here in Kansas City. Okay, there was a Kansas City Monarchs and everything was very big. In the commercial, they were saying, okay, at the Royals game on Sunday night, we're having a Negro League baseball night. Okay, in the commercial, it was a black man. They said, get out your fedora and blah, blah, blah. It was a black man in the commercial with a white woman on his arm with his fedora on. And I said, damn. Now, if you talk about the Negro League baseball time, predominantly those men were married to black women. So now you have everything that's been exclusive to blacks, where blacks could at least say, well, we had our Negro League baseball team and this and that. They want to change that. They want to tarnish everything. And most black people wouldn't even notice that this is a white woman on his arm. So that's what I talk about when we have no culture anymore. So assimilating is what young people are doing, and we're not doing anything about it.
All right. Woo-hoo. And we going to end it right there. If Renee done put y'all on notice, I'm telling you. And I agree with you, Renee. I really do. All right. So, as always, though, I'll let y'all get y'all last words in. And it's the same today. I'm going to let y'all say y'all last words. And we're going to start it off with Michael. Because I know Michael's got a lot to say. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, first of all, Renee, I would like to see that commercial in Pionki. I know you from the area. Are you familiar with that commercial? That's really interesting, Renee. But it is what it is. With the Donald Sterling, he said a lot of things, and I understand what Renee was saying, that we all know that. What Donald Sterling was saying about the Jewish community, I heard that. But we've been knowing these things for a long time. And I'm just saying, remember what Beasley said, acceptance. That's all I have to say. You have a nice day.
You too, Michael, and see you tomorrow. All right, Mr. Beasley, you up.
Not just about acceptance, it's about tolerance and what other people do and reading all of this into it. I hear what she's saying, but you have to tolerate other people. She says that you don't. But if it's not if you're not doing it, you don't have control over other people. You just don't. You have to sail your own ship. And when you paint these scenarios of that this is what's happening and this is what's going to happen in the future, you don't know what's going to happen in the future. And when you say assimilate, I mean, so black people shouldn't attend white colleges. Black people should be completely and only interact and deal with black people. Perhaps, you know, I guess that's everyone's choice, but you're missing out on the diversity of the world. The world's much more interesting with all the different groups. I don't have any hang-ups with interracial couples. I don't have any hang-ups, well, maybe a few with gay people, but for the most part, I don't. You know, what people do is what people do, and what I do is what I do. and I don't worry about too much about what people do that doesn't really have an effect on me. That's all.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Beasley, and you have a great day.
All right.
All right. Miss Mays, you up.
The gay thing is just like when we used to think who Santa Claus was, and there was no Santa Claus anymore. So we've been there, and if you always had it, and one day it's going to come out, and you're going to know what you're not supposed to be going to and what you can, because if you don't see it, you don't know what's right or wrong. So you teach your children, if you teach your children to know the difference, you don't have to worry about them in the first place, because they're going to join and go where they want to go when they get to a certain age. And they're going to experiment on different things. Some get in trouble experimenting on things. That's how some of them go. And some of them think it's just a fad. I talk to young people all the time. And some of them that way think it's a fad. And some of them wouldn't even look that way to even go that way. So the fad go away, it'll be gone away. That's how young people do things. They get in fads and go away, and you find something else new to do. So I don't think the community is going anywhere. Didn't go anywhere because we had them. We didn't get messed up. And we're going to have them after her generation when she gets to be an old lady. Same thing. And have a good day.
All righty. Thank you much. You have a great day as well. Let's see. Mr. Knowledge, you're up.
I just wanted to speak to everybody. Have a wonderful afternoon. Lively conversation as always. I'm out.
All righty. Thank you, sir. You have a great one also. All right. Mr. Joe, you up, sir.
Hey, Eric. You know what? Well, you've changed your format almost back to the way it was a couple of years ago, so it's so nice and peaceful to come in, even when people do have disagreements. It's nice. So, and I also understand what Renee's talking about, and I happen to believe that, I don't believe in her particular concept that, you know, being gay is wrong, but I happen to believe in her particular concept that, the gay agenda will be pushed, it'll be pushed hard, and it'll make the black people in particular the scapegoats, and black people will be used as the... it's part of the fodder of the New World Order agenda to take down the country. And I think, unless I'm wrong, that most people do believe that the government is not here to look out after our best interests. So to me, it seems kind of logical that if the government is not here to look out for our best interests, if the number of deaths in the world have been caused by governments against their own people, not by war, but by governments actually persecuting their own people, and we've had a history of it here in the United States as well. But I think it's logical. I think it makes sense what Renee's saying. So, on that note, thanks for bringing back the format of years ago, because now we can talk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see you probably tomorrow, Eric.
All right. Yes, sir. Thank you, Joe, and I'm glad it's back the way it used to be also.
Maybe we'll have a council again or something. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? All right.
I'll talk to you. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, and let's see. Mr. Pianke.
Well, you know, Renee, you need to get with Ujamaa and Mickey Dean and them and go into them schools and take out all those crazy books where it's showing a mama bear and a mother bear and a daddy bear and a father bear, like we done down here in one school. I don't think that if you don't want your children to be exposed to that, then you have a right that they not be exposed to it. I'm like you. I'm glad that they're coming out now. Those that are, I can stay away from them. I don't want to associate with them. It was a vegetarian restaurant I used to frequent. And one day I was going into the building and I seen this little sticker, this rainbow sticker, which shows that they belong to that LGBT community. Well, guess what? I don't go in there no more. So let them come out and expose themselves and disassociate from them. Take your children out of a classroom that has an openly gay teacher and tell the principal you want them to go someplace else within the building. And here's the kicker of all. You black women have been complaining about white women taking your man Now you got white men on the same kick, taking your men too.
Okay, that's it? Or I guess it is. All right. And next up, Renee.
Hey, okay. I wanted to say what some of the other people were saying. They were saying that you can't stop this, and it's been going on. Some people don't believe there's a gay agenda, and when you talk about the future, who knows what's going to happen in the future. I just want to give you all a quick breakdown. Didn't everybody have their time to talk? Hello?
Hello? You there?
Yeah, I just wanted to give a breakdown.
Okay.
I just wanted to give a breakdown of what's happened. Okay, going back to 1969, there was a Joffe memo that came out talking about population control, specifically of black people. Within that memo, it said one of the top things they listed was to increase homosexuality. This was a message between Planned Parenthood and the U.S. State Department. Moving next, okay, in 1973, homosexuality was officially removed from the APA, which is a psychological or association. They make all the rules for the books that psychologists and psychiatrists use to diagnose people and, you know, what's going on, whatever mental situation. So in 1973, that was removed from pressure from the gay community, okay? Now, moving along into the 80s, you know, it was began to be pushed as being normal and all this kind of thing. Now think back and then move along. You get this gay marriage situation going. Now think back like about 20 years ago. Did we ever think 20 or 30 years ago, did people ever think that there would be a day when there was gay marriage? It's in 18 states right now. Did people ever think that there'd be a day that two men can go into an adoption agency and be given a child before a man and a woman? Okay, did people ever think that would happen? Did people ever think that you would turn on the television? Look at In Living Color. They had that skit back in the day with men on film with two very effeminate black men who were gay and saying all kind of stuff. Look right now. There's a show on of that very same thing in reality called Fashion Queens. What is it that makes – I don't understand how people cannot see how all of this stuff has progressed. And if it has gotten this far, so people are so desensitized that they don't even see it, what does that say about the next 3, 5, 10, 15 years? People just don't see what's going on. People say this has always happened. We know it's always happened, but it's never been pushed, promoted, and shown everywhere and force-fed to people like it is now. If you talk about tolerance and acceptance, there's two different things. Tolerance means, you know, it can go on around you. It doesn't mean that you like it or you're going to accept it, but it means that you're going to let them go ahead and do what they do and you do what you do. It's going to be a tolerance there. But when you talk about acceptance, that's different. That's you then saying, I accept this way of life and I endorse it. It's okay. So we don't have to have acceptance. Tolerance, yes. I don't understand who said that we have to accept homosexuality. Of course, I tolerate it, but I don't have to like it. I don't have to say that it's a good thing. We don't have to accept these things, people. Y'all need to understand that. Now, also, Beasley was talking about he thinks it's great for all the different groups, but he's the one that said he thinks everybody should get together and just make 10 people for the whole world. I mean, we have to understand that these things are happening around us, and there, people are desensitized. You don't see it immediately, but you see it over time. And I wanted to, this is the last thing I wanted to give y'all. This was a 6-point plan out of a book that was written in the 80s by all the gay organization heads and people who were with the gay movement. And they came out with a book, and they had a 6-point plan in the book. Number one, talk about gays and gayness as loudly as possible. Check. Portray gays as victims and not as aggressive challengers. Check. Give homosexual protectors a just cause. Hello, gay marriage. Check. Make gays look good in the eyes of the public. Check. The example, y'all on the phone. Make victimizers look bad in the public. check. It's me. I look bad. Six, get funds for corporate from corporate America. Have they accomplished that? Absolutely they have. You go into any business now, they have implemented where you cannot have any, you know, they make sure that you cannot have any discrimination against gays. They have all types of contracts and rules now you have to sign. So people, again, hello, y'all better wake up. These people told y'all what they was going to do, but y'all don't believe it. Keep defending. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Renee. Wow. Excuse me. Renee put it out there on y'all, man. That's all I'm saying. Oh, she put it out there on you. Well, I don't know how to even answer to go behind that right there, because I really think she has a point. She really does. You know, you know, tolerance, yes. Yeah, I know somebody going to say, well, we all have someone in our family that's, you know, gay or what have you. Yeah. You know, but yeah, do you really walk away from them? Now, we've had some people on the show that said if they find out a member of their family is gay, they cut off immediately. And I mean, that's their choice. You know, tolerance. Tolerance is a strange word. You know, that means, okay, you'll just put up with it just because. You accept it just because. And maybe that's our problem. You know, maybe that is the problem we have. We're too busy being tolerant of too many things that we know is not right, that we know are not right. We know this, but yet we continue to be tolerant, thus leading us to assimilation, thus leading us to extinction. But it's being done so, you know, smoothly. You know, as Renee was saying, and Renee, I need the title to that book, so, you know, hit me up on email. You know, it's to the point to where we're desensitized about it now. That's really what it is. You know, the shows Will and Grace, In Living Color with Two Men's on Film. You know, and the fashion show, and then you have Tyra Banks thing where she has the little man girls on there. You know, it's just, you know, slowly being driven into our minds that it's okay. Well, maybe for some of y'all it is okay. To me, it's not. You know, but then again, you know, I guess that just goes as far as, you know, what your beliefs are. But, you know, here's my thought on this. As long as we allow ourselves to be assimilated, we would never know our true identity. Because once again, we're letting someone else dictate who we are. I know some of y'all say, no, we're not. But yes, we are. And they're doing a damn good job of it. You know, they really are. And just because something is just a fad does not make it right. You know, well, they're just going through a fad. So I'll just wait till this fad ends. Are you crazy? No. You might as well go on and dress up in the fad too, because that's what you're saying. You have no problems with it, and you know what's wrong. That is crazy. And the last thing I want to say, and I'm so glad Renee kept hitting it on the head, is we have to educate our children. You know, financially. Teach them about finances at an early age. You know, teach them what it is, how to work it. You know, and teach them the signs to look for when things get kind of crazy. You'd be surprised. You sit down and have those conversations, and you tell them and show them the signs to look for when things are being used against you. And you'd be surprised how quickly our young people would turn around. You know, it's simple. But yet we let them go ahead and get their hip hop in and let them ride with anybody and watch anything on television, thus allowing them to be assimilated as well, just like you are. And once again, that's another black youth down the drain. Come on, people, let's get up and do a better job. All right. Well, that's it for me, y'all. It's been fun. I enjoyed it. I want to thank everybody who participated, everybody who was in the chat room, everyone listening out on your different devices. I appreciate you, and I know without y'all, I would not have a show. Special shout-out to my chat room coordinator, Antoinette, who handles things for me. I love you to do life. All right, to Renee, love you to life. All right, so yeah, I'm glad y'all are part of the show. Knowledge always, man. You always bring something to the table. Michael, yeah, you Michael. I like you because you always bring a different perspective. But anyway, that's it for me. You want to leave in the comments, just send an email to ericlesstalk@gmail.com or go to the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Leave a message there as well. All right. Well, that's going to do it for me today, y'all. It's been fun. I appreciate it. This has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and I'm saying so long. I'm gone.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.